This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly. People think, oh, earthly, that's good. Natural, they think that's good too. Well, earthly, natural, and demonic. In comparison to God's wisdom, it's not good. Man's wisdom is demonic. Man's wisdom is natural. It's earthly. It's of this world. And Satan is the ruler of this world.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look in Colossians to look at a very encouraging passage.
Indeed we will, Dave. And as we'll also see, Paul declares this in order that no one may delude us with persuasive arguments. Well, brothers and sisters, today we begin to see the Lord doesn't want us to be taken captive by false teachers. So turn with us together as we begin our study in Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 10, talked about the true shepherd being himself and the hirelings. The hirelings being those who are in it for the money, who see the wolf coming and they run away because they have no concern for the flock. But our Lord Jesus is very concerned for us. He loves us. He gave his life for us. He died for our sins and rose from the dead. And he is greatly concerned. We're told to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And the Lord shows his care for us in the areas in which, in this dark and dangerous world, we might get tripped up. More specifically, for believers, there are dangers to our faith in Jesus. And God has clarified and revealed how we can be protected from those. And it would do us well to give heed so that we are not taken captive, so that we are not deluded by persuasive arguments. So today we continue our look at what genuine ministry looks like, what biblical ministry should look like. And you know, I've mentioned there's so many ministries out there. You do a search on that, millions of things come up. There's a ministry for anything and everything, but the term ministry isn't in Scripture. What we see is the term service or serving. So how is it that we are to serve one another? How is it that we are to minister to one another? Well, God's Word is very clear, and we've been looking at it in the book of Colossians. And it's actually a safeguard for us to see how right ministry, proper ministry should be done so that we do not get taken by those who are using ministry as a tool for their own gain at the flock's expense. Would you turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2? And we are coming into another wonderful passage. I shudder to think of these passages, how wonderful they are, to make sure the Lord help me share it as you desire. It's so important. It's so good. It's so wonderful. Please, Lord, enable me to share it so I don't mess up. This is a wonderful passage. Now, we've been looking at the book of Colossians, and we're going to see today that faithful servants have godly concern for the flock, and thus they proclaim the word of God and warn the sheep. Those who don't have concern don't share the word. They don't build you up. They don't mature you, and then you're vulnerable. But those who are concerned obey the Lord because the Lord is concerned. Now, again, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and you turn your Bibles, actually, to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 4 through 7. And in this, as I've mentioned, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and although Paul has not personally visited these believers in Colossae and the others in the Lycos Valley, Laodicea and Hierapolis, he has been informed by Epaphras of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for one another. But he's also been informed evidently of the threats to their faith. And he's been informed very specifically in that context because the way he responds to, as we will see in chapter 2, specific threats to our faith. Now, as we've looked at it, the solution to these dangers and threats
really comes down to the reality of a faith and a trust and a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul begins in chapter 1 sharing the reality of who Christ is, who he is, that he's our Redeemer and he has brought the forgiveness of sins, and that he is also the supreme Lord of the first creation. He's the Creator. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the supreme Lord of the new creation. He is the head of the body of Christ. That's the church. And he is preeminent. He is fully God and fully man, and he died in order to reconcile us, that he might present us holy and blameless beyond reproach. Tremendous. And then within that, we have this statement then concerning this totally sufficient Savior, moving on to the reality of the ministry of the Lord through the Apostle Paul. And Paul begins in the middle of chapter 1, then going on into chapter 2, to reveal what genuine ministry looks like, so that we will see it properly in light of the bad guys. Indeed, we've seen that biblical ministry has God's men ministering, those who have been called and gifted by the Lord to bring forth the Word of God, those who have a stewardship to fully proclaim the Word of God. God's ministry also has the message that's preached. It's Christ proclaimed. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ. The message is Christ. When you go search for a church, you want to see that Christ is exalted, not just in name only, but through the Word being brought forth. Sometimes you'll see churches that have all the right boxes checked, but you never see anything about Christ. You listen to a sermon, you hear some biblical stuff, but you never hear anything about Christ. Paul said, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man that we represent every man complete in Christ. And that's why he labors and strives. And we saw indeed that true ministry uses God's method. It's the proclamation of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God coming forth that believers would be matured in their relationship with Christ. And then we saw last time that genuine godly ministers have a concern for the flock. They're concerned and they struggle in the context of bringing forth the Word that the body might be complete. And that leads us to what we'll see today, where I believe we'll see authentic ministry brings forth God's Word so as to mature and also warn God's people so that they would not be taken captive by those bad guys. Let's take a look at our passage, and I'm going to back up a little bit into chapter 1, and then we'll move through what we saw last week, and then we'll move into our passage as I read. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. And then this is what we saw last time. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts, first thing, might be encouraged, having been, that's already happened, knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. This tremendous confidence in the context of the truth of God, which is such a treasure. When we believe the truth of God, we stand on it in its right context. It is a treasure. It is so valuable. And he says here, concerning Christ himself, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, we know there are bad guys out there, and a lot of the people who bring in the context to this book, and especially 1 John, talk about the Gnostics and all this stuff, you know. We don't see that in here. Yes, they were around. But what we see is what we need to know, because we have different threats now, but these truths apply to us now, and they apply to every believer concerning those threats, because they all come with the same thread behind them, okay? So now he says in our passage, and this is what we'll begin today, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in body, he says, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and stability in your faith in Christ.
As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And it's such an important passage. It is so crucial for our Christian walk now. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. This is a tremendous passage. So it's a tremendous portion of scripture, so I encourage you to pay attention and ask God to illumine his word by his spirit that you would understand exactly what he intended. Notice he says here, first of all, verse 4, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. Remember what we saw last time? We saw that Paul has just revealed his great struggle on behalf of the body for the purpose of presenting believers complete in Christ. That through the word proclaimed, true believers, having had their hearts knit together in love, that the word brings forth encouragement. And it also brings forth that treasured confidence in the Lord and his word. So valuable. Attending to the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. That full assurance of understanding the truth of God and the God of the truth. My question is, are you being encouraged through the word? Do you have a treasured confidence in God and his word? You stand on his word. You believe what he said. It's a treasure. So then God's word is incredibly valuable, and we need to recognize that. And Paul struggled for these specific goals. They'd be encouraged, and they would have that settled understanding in the true knowledge of Christ. And then he goes on to share concerning Christ that he has everything we need. He says, and we touched on this, but we'll touch a little more on it right now. We touched on it last time. In whom, end of verse 3, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hidden. Now for us, they're revealed. For non-believers, it's hidden. They're not going to see it. They're not going to grasp it. They don't have the Spirit of God. It is hidden. But in Christ are hidden these things which are open and plain to us if we're willing to listen and we're willing to treasure God's word. You see, Scripture reveals there are two types of wisdom. The wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. The wisdom that is from above and the wisdom from below. Let me share some passages. These are familiar to you, I think. And if not, they will be familiar after we read them, right? Turn to James chapter 3. James is going to ask the question to say, hey, are you wise and understanding? Hey, that should be manifest in your behavior based on what wisdom you function by. It's going to reveal that. You think you're wise and understanding? Well, what's your behavior like? Notice what he says here. James 3:13. Who among you is wise and understanding? People, I wouldn't raise your hand right now. Listen to what he says here. He says here, who is wise? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. There you go. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, it's hidden. He says, do not be arrogant so as to lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly. And people think, oh, earthly, that's good. Natural, they think that's good too. Well, earthly, natural, and demonic. In comparison to God's wisdom, it's not good. Man's wisdom is demonic. Man's wisdom is natural. It's earthly. It's of this world. And Satan is the ruler of this world. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Later on, we're going to see that God's wisdom produces order. Order in your relationship with him. Disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure. That's unmixed. No sin with that. It's pure. Then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's not strife and jealousy and fights and quarrels. If you're functioning by God's wisdom, there's peace. If it's man's wisdom, man, you got a battle coming up. But if it's God's wisdom, there's peace because we trust the God behind the truth. We also know, take for instance in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you can turn there. Paul mentions that the gospel destroys man's wisdom. It destroys it because man's wisdom is centered in pride, is centered in human pride, demonic pride. I'll share a little of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18.
Now remember, the Corinthians were the wise guys. They were the ones that treasured wisdom before they got saved, right? That was their culture. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing," they're on their way to eternal destruction, "foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." God's wisdom, that's his power. He uses his wisdom to produce what he wants to do. "For it is written, I will destroy," notice this, "the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Right? He says here, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God." You can't come to know him through your own reasoning and wisdom. It's not going to happen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, okay? He says here, "God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Gentiles, foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and," notice this, "the wisdom of God. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge," right? "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." By the way, we always think, oh, if God would just save that very intelligent scientist, how much he could do for God's kingdom with that intelligence. Well, God chose the weak things so that we wouldn't boast before God. Now, he certainly can save that person that desires to, desires all men are saved, but there's going to need to be a humbling, right? He says here, 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." That's us. We're the foolish and weak things, right? And he says there, "The base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God." And he goes on, and he talks about us, that God's wisdom is revealed to us in Christ. That's what he says, verse 30, "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus." God is the one who saved us. God's the one who did it. "Who became to us wisdom from God." It's Christ. And it's what Christ says in his word. "And righteousness and sanctification and redemption, just as is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Wisdom comes from God. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you need wisdom, you get to know Christ. You get into his word. That's where it comes from. There's no other place. Any other place is man's way. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." It comes from the word of God. And where do we get it? From the word of God. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul continues to address it. By the way, the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians are a rebuke, and they are that no one would boast. The humbling of the Corinthians, that they wouldn't boast. And Paul gives his illustration of how he came to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this should be preaching 101. Every seminary should say, let's just look at this passage. You've come to preaching 101, we're going to look at the Word of God. Well, that's not what they do, unfortunately. But here, this is what they should do. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom." They're speaking of man's wisdom there. "Proclaiming to you the testimony of the God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's all about Jesus. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom." That's man's wisdom. He didn't use man's wisdom to persuade you. We're going to see in our passage, Paul says, "I declare this so that you are not deluded by persuasive arguments." Persuasive biblical arguments. He says here, "But in the demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God." And there's a lot of people whose faith rests on the wisdom of men. It's a shame. Because they didn't heed the warnings. They weren't built up. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord in that context. And notice he says, "Yet we do speak wisdom." Hey, I don't speak wisdom, but I do. I don't speak man's wisdom. He says in this here, "I speak God's wisdom
Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak what? God's wisdom. This is verse 7. In a mystery, in the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things which I have not seen, ear has not heard, and have entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Some people stop right there and say, I can't wait for all these things. Well, just keep reading. You already got it. If you're a believer, notice what he says. Love him, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. These things that no man can understand, no man has ever heard, no eye has seen, God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of God, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. That's God's Word. That's His wisdom. He says here, which things we also speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually praised. That's why you can't talk people into biblical arguments about stuff. They need the gospel. They need to get saved, and then they're going to go, yeah, I believe God created everything. Try to talk them into it, and you might force them into it, an argument into it, but they need to be saved. And then they'll receive the Spirit of God, and they'll understand. They'll go, yeah, I believe it. He says here, but he who is spiritual praises all things, yet he himself is praised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ revealed in the Word of God. And in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's so easy to seek man's ways packaged biblically or whatever it might be. It's so easy to fall into man's wisdom rather than believing what God says for every circumstance and every situation. You see, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but they're revealed to us. What he sees, we have the mind of Christ, what he has chosen for us to know. We, through his word, have everything we need. 2 Peter chapter 1 is very clear. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him, that's through in a relationship with him, who has called us by his own glory and excellence. This is 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. He says, for by these he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises. Tremendous. Folks, as we're going to see, there are evil men and imposters who will bring man's wisdom packaged in persuasive arguments to lead believers astray. So Paul makes it clear, in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says, I say this, pointing to in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. Back in our passage, the term translated delude here, paralogizomai, interesting word. Logizomai speaks of reckoning, working through something logically, logizomai, reckoning, right? Consider yourselves dead to sin, reckon yourselves, logically perceive that as a counting term in a sense. Para means alongside that. It means you're using what seems to be reason, but it's not reason, it's alongside it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, Our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you made a very important point in your message today.
Yes, Dave, and this is just another evidence and example of authentic ministry. Okay, well, we've just begun, so make plans to join us for our next broadcast as we continue this extremely important study.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.